Hello, everyone, and welcome to my podcast channel, Killer Instinct. I am your host, Abigail Story, and I am a true crime enthusiast, and I also have some background in forensics. Throughout this series, we will deep dive into some of the most interesting homicide cases in history. With that being said, let's get right into it. Today, we will be discussing John Wayne Gacy. If you are familiar with this name, you will be very soon. Gacy was born on March 17, 1942, in Chicago, Illinois. He was born into a working-class family and seemed to have a fairly normal upbringing. However, in the 60s, Gacy seemed to have a growing affliction towards sadism. For those who don't know, sadism is a psychosexual disorder where sexual urges are satisfied by the infliction of pain on another person. In 1968, Gacy was confined in an Iowa State men's prison after being convicted for sexually assaulting a teenage boy. After the arrest, Gacy's wife, Marilyn Myers, quickly divorced John Gacy after nearly 6 years of marriage. Shortly after Gacy's release and divorce in 1970, he was arrested once again for sexual assault, however, the charges were dropped. After these events, John Wayne Gacy moved to a suburban neighborhood in Chicago, where he became a successful independent contractor. Everyone in the neighborhood loved the friendly Mr. Gacy and were totally blind to his past. He remarried in 1972 to a woman named Carol Hoff, who he had also lied about his past to. John Wayne Gacy had reestablished his reputation in his new town. He even became a local celebrity and was known as Pogo the Clown. Pogo regularly performed at children's hospitals, charity events, as well as other children's parties. Gacy had everyone fooled in believing he was an amazing, selfless man. However, this couldn't be further from the truth. In reality, Gacy created a good reputation for himself as well as his family just so that he could abuse his power and not have any fingers pointed at him. John Wayne Gacy knew that he was well known and trusted in his community, and he used this for evil. Children began going missing left and right, particularly young boys. Since this was in the 70s, the police had little to no evidence on these missing children cases due to the technology at the time, and they often had to push them aside. However, they did have some type of lead on people citing a clown taking these children. Unfortunately, during this time, clowns were very common as they were great entertainment for children. In fact, Gacy was a member of the Chicago area Jolly Joker Clown Club. Gacy was eventually interviewed by the police, like many other clowns in the area. The police suspected little to nothing after speaking to Gacy, especially since he had a wife and kids of his own. Even if they were suspicious of John Wayne Gacy, they had no evidence, and Gacy had a great reputation. Gacy became the killer clown who had not yet been identified. The killer clown would sometimes lure young men by promising them jobs at his construction site, by taking them from children's parties, by picking up male hitchhikers at night, or some other type of ruse. Once he captured his victims, he would sexually assault them, torture them, and eventually strangle them with his hands or a rope. The police began staking out Gacy's home and saw countless young men entering and leaving Gacy's home. However, none of these boys were talking, and the police didn't have enough information or evidence to obtain a search warrant. However, one morning, Gacy invited the police in for breakfast because he thought that everything was well hidden and he was confident. One of the officers asked to use Gacy's restroom, where he smelt the scent of death oozing out of the bathroom vent. The police became extremely suspicious and began searching the house. However, they found nothing. Gacy eventually sued the police for $750,000 due to the illegal search conducted. However, the police then learned of John Wayne Gacy's prior conviction, and their suspicion continues to grow. A few days after the police learn of this new information, Gacy is seen handing a small package of marijuana to a gas station clerk. He is followed and then arrested. With John Wayne Gacy now in custody, officers obtain a warrant and enter his house again. They finally get Gacy to speak, and he admitted to burying a body under his house, and he even showed the police where. The police then dug up the body and began ripping up the rest of the floor and the crawl space. The house was basically demolished. After the search had been completed, the police found 29 bodies in all, just in Gacy's home, some of which still haven't been identified to this very day. John Wayne Gacy admitted to killing at least 33 young males. This case is absolutely tragic, but it sparked my interest in Gacy's motives. With that being said, let's take a closer look at Gacy's background. John Wayne Gacy was named by his father after the famous cowboy actor John Wayne. Gacy's father began to become disappointed in him because he was nothing like the cowboy John Wayne. Gacy was overweight, not athletic, not popular, and his father did not like this about him. Gacy's father was an alcoholic, and he was not a happy drunk. Karen Gacy, John's older sister, spoke to the press and said, "My father on many occasions would call John a sissy." She continued to say they often had to walk on eggshells around their father. Gacy was also called dumb and stupid by his father quite frequently. His father was physically abusive to Gacy, his two sisters, and his mother. Gacy was hospitalized in 1957 at the age of 15 for almost a full year due to seizures and blackouts he was experiencing. This only made his father like him less, as he suspected Gacy was only trying to receive sympathy and attention. Despite his father's cruel treatment, he still loved him. In John Wayne Gacy's earlier years, he was molested by a family friend and a contractor on numerous occasions. However, Gacy never told his father this, as he thought he would be blamed and viewed as gay. This probably had a huge impact in what motives Gacy had when he committed the crimes. He was molested by adults he was supposed to trust, and he observed firsthand as a victim how powerless he was before and after the assault. Maybe he felt he could gain his power by victimizing others and assaulting them in the same way he had been assaulted. As Gacy began to mature and grow older, he knew that he was a homosexual. However, he was still fighting for his father's approval, which was why he married his first wife, Marilyn Myers. In fact, this may have been the only time Gacy's father was truly proud of him. This leads me to my next question. Why did Gacy kill his victims after assaulting them? In the 60s and 70s, there was still a stigma about homosexuality, and it was not as openly accepted as it is today. Gacy was so terrified that one of his victims would speak out and the whole town, including Gacy's father, would know that he was gay. John Wayne Gacy would kill most of his victims to ensure his secret life was kept secret. However, when Gacy engaged in consensual sexual activity, he would often let his partner live. This was because he wasn't forcing them to do anything, so he wasn't concerned about them speaking out. John Wayne Gacy was a sick man who terrorized the whole city of Chicago and took innocent children away from their families. To wrap up this episode, I would like to thank all my listeners for tuning in. Make sure to turn on your notifications to stay up to date on all my new episodes, and be sure to tune in on October 26th to discuss Charles Manson and the Manson family. In addition, please remember that murder is never justified. However, Others will always remember how you treated them, so use this knowledge for good and turn somebody's day around. Thank you all again for listening, and I hope you stop by again.